Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Garba Sankarsanatam Vai. Prahuk Sankarsanam Bhuvi. Ramiti Lokaramanad. Balabhadram Balochrayat. Garba Sankarsanatam Vai. Prahuk Sankarsanam Bhuvi. Ramiti Lokaramanad. Balabhadram Balochrayat. Garba Sankarsanat. Because he will be taken from the womb of Devaki to that of Rohini. Womb of Devaki to that of Rohini. Tom. Him. Rohini Nandana, the son of Rohini. Vai. Indeed. Prahuhu. People will call. Sankarsanam. By the name Sankarsana. Bhuvi. In the world. Rama iti. He will also be called Rama. Loka Ramanat. Because of his special mercy in enabling people in general to become devotees. Correct. Balabhadram. He will also be called Balabhadra. Bala Uchtrayat. Because of extensive bodily strength. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The son of Rohini will also be celebrated as Sankarsana because of being sent from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. He will be called Rama because of his ability to please all the inhabitants of Gokula. And he will be known as Balabhadra because of his extensive physical strength. Purport. These are some of the reasons why Balaram is known as Sankarsana. Balaram, or sometimes Ram. In the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. People sometimes object when Rama is accepted as Balaram. But although devotees of Lord Rama may object, they should know that there is no difference between Balaram and Lord Ram. Here Srimad Bhagavatam clearly states that Balaram is also known as Rama, Ramiti. Therefore, it is not artificial for us to speak of Lord Balaram as Lord Ram. Jayadeva Goswami also speaks of three Ramas, Parusharama, Raghupati Rama, and Balaram. All of them are Ramas. All of them are expansions of Baladev. Krishna's brother, older brother, Baladev, is the original of all expansions in the category of Swamsha, or self-same expansions of the Supreme Lord Himself. So you can call the original by the name of his expansion. Those who chant the Hare Krishna mantra to worship Ramachandra, we do not discourage them. But it should be understood that the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is addressed to Swayam Bhagavan. Otherwise, why is the name Krishna used? The name Krishna refers to the original form of the personality of Godhead, Sri Gopal, son of Vasudeva and Devaki, son of Nanda and Yashoda. Only in a more general way, metaphorically, is Krishna used as a name referring to any other form of God. Sometimes the word Krishna is used generically in the Bhagavatam. It is. But most times it's used literally to directly refer to the Krishna that we're talking about. And so if we're worshipping, this mantra is addressed to Krishna, it should not be mixed in its rasas. The rasa should be consistent. It should not be rasa-basa. So it's not that one word of the mantra refers to Krishna and another one refers to Ramachandra. We don't worship Krishna and Ramachandra on the same altar normally. We can worship them in the same temple, but there should be separate altars because there are separate moods, different moods. The mood of Krishna and the mood of Ramachandra are different, even though they are the same person. We don't mix everything up. When Krishna is in one mood, we don't push another mood on him. We respect his moods. So when Krishna prefers to be Ramachandra at that time and in that place, we don't address him as Krishna. We address him as Ramachandra. We treat him as Ramachandra. We approach him in the proper mood for worshipping Ramachandra, serving Ramachandra. When Krishna is with the cowherd boys, he should be dealt with in one way. And when he's with the gopis, he should be dealt with in a different way. And if you don't know how to deal properly, you should not come too close to Krishna. You're not ready to have personal dealings with him if you cannot be consistent with the rasa. And generally we cannot. In our conditioned state, we have no taste for rasa. We don't know what it is. We know something about it theoretically, and we may be able to say so many fancy things about rasas and bhavas and present ourselves as an expert, as a rasika, as somebody who actually knows rasas, but you cannot know the transcendental taste just by theory. You have to taste it. A man whose tongue does not operate properly does not know the taste of vanilla, strawberry, and chocolate. He doesn't know the difference. He can talk about it theoretically, but he has no idea what strawberry, what chocolate, what vanilla is. The man who is blind cannot explain colors to you. He may try. He may want to be an expert and want to be recognized as an expert. And we have immature devotees who want to be recognized as rasika bhaktas, as great experts, and they can speak so much theory, but they have no taste. As long as we still have a taste for material sense gratification, we cannot have any taste of rasa. We don't know what it is. Just like a blind man does not know what color is, he cannot. So we cannot claim to be experts about rasa. We cannot claim that we know Krishna. You cannot know Krishna. You cannot have a direct relationship with Krishna until you are pure enough from all material tastes to actually taste relationship with Krishna. And you cannot, you should not dare to claim that you are directly in touch with Krishna and Krishna is telling you what to do directly and you can ignore everybody else's authority. If you still have material taste, if you're still materially attached, materially contaminated, you cannot claim that you have a direct communication with Krishna. That is just, if any claim of that sort in that condition is just hypocrisy and must be rejected by the serious Vaishnavas. You must not take seriously when someone says that Krishna is directly communicating with him and that he's getting his instructions directly from Krishna. When you know that that person still has so many material attachments, you must reject that idea. You don't have to be rude, but we cannot accept that claim. It is a false claim. If someone makes a false claim, you cannot take him seriously. Someone presents himself as a physician, a doctor, and wants to treat you, but he has no credentials and no knowledge. He's a fraud. Then you should not take medical treatment from him. And you should not accept any spiritual... What is being of instruction? You should not even hear from people who claim that they have a direct relationship with Krishna when they don't. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur himself, he was known as being too critical by those who didn't understand him. But whenever he met anybody, especially in his travels in the south, where many people are Vaishnavas of a sort, many people belong by their birth and their upbringing to Vaishnava Sampradayas in the south of India. So he met many people in the south and elsewhere who would claim to be advanced Vaishnavas or to be good Vaishnavas. And whenever he met a person who claimed to be a Vaishnava, his first question was always, under
Whose instruction, under whose guidance are you practicing the worship of Krishna, the service of Krishna? And if the man said, well, I'm doing it, I have my own connection with Krishna, I'm not following anybody, then he would not listen. He would not have anything to do with that person. He would not hear from him at all. He would just reject the person as useless. If someone claims that he's directly in contact with Krishna and not following anybody's guidance, then that's bogus. Because a conditioned soul cannot have a proper relationship with Krishna. He cannot because he doesn't have the taste of rasa. Just like you cannot operate a machine without electricity, electrical machine. You cannot do it. You have to have a source of a proper electricity. And it has to be the proper electricity. An American appliance needs 110 volts, not 220, not 440, not 50. You need 100 volts to operate your radio, if it's an American radio. You can provide it. You can have a transformer. You can do it by batteries. You can do it by a direct, you know, plugging it into the wall. But it must be the proper current, suitable current, acceptable by the machine. If you have no current, or you have the wrong current, the machine will not operate, and you may destroy the machine with the wrong current. So like that, you want to communicate with God, you have to be on the right wavelength. You have to be in the right frequency of rasa. You have to, and if you don't know rasa, if you have no taste for rasa because you have so much material taste, then you're not ready for that. We are practicing for that. But it is cheap and abominable to pretend that we are actually communicating with Krishna when we haven't yet purified ourselves. Prabhupada's way of saying that to some of his disciples was, first deserve and then desire. First become pure and then claim your direct communication with Krishna. Therefore, we have the process of sadhana bhakti under the guidance of pure devotees. We're following Prabhupada, we're following Prabhupada's disciples and their disciples who are making some advancement, and we can make advancement by following their guidance. But on our own, nobody can claim a direct connection with Krishna. No proper devotee claims. Every proper devotee claims instead that he's servant of the servant of the servant. How can we serve someone if we have only contempt for them? If we don't have respect and friendship with the Vaishnavas, then we cannot serve them. And if we don't serve the Vaishnavas, how can we have any real connection with Krishna? Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nishtar Peyeche Keba. I think this is Narottam Das Thakur's statement. Abandoning the service of the Vaishnavas, how can you expect any salvation? How can anyone expect, under any conditions, to be saved? To be saved from illusion and from the cycle of birth and death if you don't serve the Vaishnavas? And how can you serve somebody who you don't respect and you don't like? If we don't like the Vaishnavas, if we find so much fault with the Vaishnavas that we can't tolerate them, then we're not going to be able to serve them. And without serving the Vaishnavas, no salvation, no connection with Krishna. So those who want to argue about their favorite incarnation and argue against others, like devotees of Ram who object that we claim that that Ram and the Hare Krishna mantra is also Balaram, they're unfortunate, they're mistaken. Devotees, Vaishnavas should not fight. We don't claim a division that we are the Krishnaites and we're against the Ramites. Our idea is we're all belonging to the same religion, Vaishnava religion. We're not Shaivites. We don't disrespect Lord Shiva. But as far as all the forms of Vishnu, we are basically worshipping the same Lord. We are, just in different moods. But we have to respect the mood. Therefore, when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we understand it consistently. If we're worshipping in the mood of Radha Krishna, then the Hare Krishna mantra should refer to Krishna and Radharani, not to Balaram. Even Balaram shouldn't be there, actually, when you're worshipping Radha Krishna. Now, he's not normally on the same altar with Radha Krishna, Balaram. He doesn't want to be. He doesn't want to meddle in Krishna's personal dealings with the gopis. So, but if we're worshipping Krishna Balaram, then that's a different thing. We can understand it in a different way. But to bring in other incarnations into the Hare Krishna mantra is rasabhasa. It's inconsistent.